This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
I'm wearing a sweater and it's a little hot in here. How are you?
Yes, welcome to my apartment. It is hot, right?
You have the air conditioner
on.
Yeah,
I know, and it's still kind of hot.
Yeah, it's also like...
It's like 50 degrees outside.
Yeah, it was cold walking here. It's hot here. I feel like I'm an old person, close to death.
What the hell's going on? Yeah, I've got this thing set. Like, pretty cool. I just turned it up a little bit just for you.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
but I don't understand. I've been trying to not use my air conditioner.
Especially when it's very cold outside.
Yeah, but I don't understand what the deal with it is. I have to keep using it.
You had your window open before. That seemed pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, I've had the windows open. That helps.
But then bats fly in, right?
Don't even. You ever have like a bat in your belfry?
I've had a bat in my home many times, Tom.
In your home's belfry?
What's a belfry?
Like the attic, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, that's
but
where...
But is it only in like old
like a castle
structures?
Or something, I think.
Yeah. I've had a bat in my living room.
But in your living room?
Yeah.
Like
well, I've told
your family
these stories,
home?
Yeah, a million times.
I don't pay attention.
Because what happens is we'd always go, you know, me and the rest of the boys,
we'd
you
collect
were there.
All the fruit flies from around town.
Oh, man.
And let them loose in your living room.
That'd be gross. Flies in a home.
Blah. I read this thing about...
Flies are my number one thing about, like, if there's going to be one thing that drives me mad to the point where it's like, nope, gotta, like, go out to sea. It's yeah. it's flies.
That's something me and my dog have in common. Like, every once in a while when a house fly gets in here,
yeah.
Boy, me and my dog, we both put down everything we're doing. And are just fixated on trying to catch this fly.
Yeah.
But I do a better job than my dog as she is very short.
Yeah.
And flies can fly.
Do you? But you can fly, right?
No, but I have a fly swatter.
I don't have a fly swatter. I have a fly in my house right now, Tom.
How
I'm
do you know it's
you.
Still there? You haven't even been home since this morning.
Because it's been there for 3 goddamn days. That's how I know.
It's right. When that happens, I always think like, Don't fruit flies. Like house flies only live for like a day or two.
Well, you know, you notice how they slow down a lot, right? Like
yeah,
I'm looking forward to
yeah, sure.
tonight. I'm gonna go home and I'm just gonna be able to like.
Yeah, a fly's gonna be an old man.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna be able to like grab it out of thin air and just be like, all right, enough. And then
yeah,
I can
by
throw
tonight
it
he's in his twilight years.
Yeah,
he doesn't know what the hell's going on. How he got there, he doesn't recognize his own fly relatives.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He's gonna be like, "Oh, you wouldn't hurt an old man, would you?"
Yeah, he'll have a moment of clarity. Be like, "Tim, oh my God, Tim, it's you."
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you're the guy that's been like landing on the lip of my water glass for the last 3 days.
Gross.
Yeah,
better than a lip in your mouth.
Yeah, it landed on my face at one point.
I was reading a thing today about...
And then you can't lie down without thinking like...
that fly's going to get me.
Yeah, exactly. That a fly's going to land on you at some point. It's the worst. I can't believe I live like this.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did have a bat several times. We'd go swimming at neighborhood kids' pools, Tom, at night. And a bat will like wrap itself in a wet towel.
Wait, what?
A bat will like go into a wet towel a lot. So like I'd bring home.
I'm thinking like a paper towel. I'm like, where'd I get the paper towel?
No, so I'd towel off my hot teenage bod, right?
Yeah.
When I got out of the pool. And then I'd put that like in a bag or something. But there'd be a bat in there.
What? There'd be a bat in your bag or
yeah,
the towel?
Yeah, in the towel, but the towel's in the bag.
Oh, but wait, the bat was in the towel while you were drying yourself?
I guess at some point between... me being outside and me being in my home, a bat got in the towel.
Oh, okay.
And I brought the towel into my own home.
Oh, man.
And it happened twice in a row one summer, and then once at my girlfriend at the time's house.
Yeah.
And by the time it got into my girlfriend's house, I was really good at getting bats out of houses.
Well, I was going to say,
she's
you'd
like,
probably...
Ooh, my hero. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, certainly wasn't me that brought this bat into your house.
I was going to say, by then, I would assume you had built up something of a reputation
as
a bat boy.
Ooh, bat boy.
Yeah.
It's on the cover of the Weekly World News.
I was reading a thing about there's a man right now. I don't even know.
Man?
No, I don't know if he's even more like a fly man. Mm. I don't even know if he's a scientist or just like a guy with a lot of time on his hands. But
Batman.
That's true.
Batman is both a scientist and a guy with a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah, and money.
Yeah.
This guy is just working on breeding fruit flies.
Get out of here. Get out of town, science man.
You didn't even let me finish.
Yeah, well, I know. No more flies.
The point
enough science.
The point of these fruit flies that he's breeding, he's trying to breed fruit flies that can live on Titan, one of the moons of Saturn.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know. And that's,
you're gonna like invent an invasive species for another planet? Enough science.
Well, and that's what I don't understand. Like, you put the flies up, you send them to Titan. Well, what the hell are they gonna eat? Gas?
Yeah, maybe
ice. And also, point, like...
What's the end game of sending a bunch of flies to Titan?
Yeah, a perfect point, Tim. I don't think that he really has an end game in mind. I mean...
How is he going to get them there?
A spaceship, I assume?
That seems like a waste of resources.
There. Well, you wouldn't need that big of a spaceship. You could send probably just like a mason jar.
In a bottle rocket?
Yeah. Well, you probably need to get like a bunch of bottle rockets together.
Man, why didn't people put bugs in small jars and shoot them up with fireworks?
Well, I think even a small jar, you need like a pretty substantial.
Yeah.
And also, like, even if you did, then it comes, then what? It explodes up there?
Yeah, and then bugs rain down on your enemies.
Well, I don't think so. You're talking like a lot of bugs.
Yeah, like a jar full of locusts.
I don't think that. I don't think this guy's really thought this through. Because like, even if it works, then it's gonna be like, oh, should we go explore Titan? Well, not now. It's infested with fruit flies. Who the hell wants to go there now?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Do they think the flies will evolve into something useful up there?
No, I think it's more like this is like the strain of fruit fly that they use for like space experiments.
Mm.
So they're like, we'll make these flies that are like hardy enough to survive on Titan.
And then we can inject their DNA into
us?
Well,
I don't even know what experiments we can do if we send them there and we're not going there.
Yeah.
We gotta rely on them coming back and telling us what happened.
I mean, I'm getting pretty worked up about this, Tom, but I'm discounting the fact that you probably just didn't understand that article at all.
No, I read
you
like
enough of
it.
Clearly, don't understand this man's motivations.
No, I think he just saw like an opportunity.
But is it even that big? There are. Opportunity.
Oh,
like,
no, it's called bio art or something. Bio art.
Oh, it's art?
Yeah, I think he's an artist.
Oh. So sending bugs to a moon.
That's art now? That's qualifies as art?
I guess.
My kid could do that.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Tim, we're not talking about whatever the hell it was we were just talking about. I don't know. We took an extended break. My dog had to go poop.
Yeah.
She always has to poop when you come over. You get her too excited.
Is that a thing that dogs do when they get excited?
I think so. My dog only like tells me she has to go out when she has to poop.
She tells you she has to go out?
Yeah, that's what she was doing before. That's why I was like, she has
like,
to go out.
Through like yeah, not whining.
not through English. There are other ways.
If it was Spanish, it would be equally impressive.
No, I can't speak Spanish to my dog. It makes her upset.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, but
traumatic experience happened while somebody was speaking Spanish.
Maybe, but you think a dog would like understand
the differences between English and Spanish?
Yeah,
no.
I'd be like, oh, that's the language of my tormentor.
Yeah, or maybe not the language of her tormentor, but maybe Telemundo was on in the background or something.
Right. And they were saying, hello, how are you? Over and over again.
Hola, ¿cómo estás?
Así, así. Oh, she can speak Spanish too. Mm. That's one of the other weird things. Tim, what are we talking about this week?
Tom, there's a topic you suggested, delis.
Why do you say it's a topic I suggested? So if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, I like to have cover. I wouldn't say this is a classic Tom topic. Right. Actually, I say it to give you a little bit of credit. Uh-huh. You're thinking outside of your normal like superhero focused misogyny.
So far.
Oh, it's always a fun journey to see how we're going to get
right.
to
Right. Well, yeah, by the end I have two questions. What kind of deli you think Superman likes the most, and should women be allowed to work at delis?
Oh, Tom.
Just kidding. Neither of those. I know what Superman's favorite deli is, and of course women should be allowed to work at delis.
What's Superman's favorite deli, Tom?
Probably like Metropolis Deli or something.
Oh, it's a classic. My favorite deli is New York Deli.
Well, Superman's kind of basic when you get down to it. Clark, certainly. Clark's real basic when you get down to it.
What's
Clark's probably like, oh, just a ham and cheese on white bread, please.
Yeah. What a piece of crap he is, huh?
Mayonnaise. He's a farm boy. He doesn't know any better.
Yeah, but Superman, he's like, put rocks on it.
Superman, put a few train ties in there.
Yeah, I could handle it. Lois, watch. Tom, what is a deli? What is a delicatessen?
A deli is a delicatessen. A deli. Oh, actually, I did find a pretty good
definition.
Yeah, or like explanation of the difference between.
Because here in New York, we use I think deli and bodega, interchangeably. But yes. A bodega is more of a grocery.
Yeah.
Whereas a deli is more about prepared food,
right?
Or preparing
and a
food.
Bodega could have a deli counter in it,
right?
But a bodega,
deli will never have a bodega
counter in there
because right. There's just too much.
Well, and a bodega could not have a deli counter, but still a bodega.
Does your dog freak out when you say bodega?
I don't know. Let's say it about 100 times more. And then we'll see. Where is the damn explanation?
I think we got it, Tom.
No, it was something. It was actually very interesting.
It's a German word.
Yeah. It was, do you know about an appetizing store?
No, what is that?
It sounds like it could be anything, right? There's just a store that's appetizing.
I mean, a store itself wouldn't be appetizing, but maybe its wares would
right.
be.
And that's what it sounds like. It could be very general, like, you know, Macy's.
A general store.
Yeah. Like Macy's be an appetizing store.
When I think appetizing, I think like I'm going to be ingesting something.
Right. Well, you wouldn't be wrong, Tim. You're on the right track. So, you know, Russ and Daughters in the city?
Mm-hmm.
Russ and Daughters is an appetizing store. It is not a deli.
Oh, now, why is that?
An appetizing store is a place that sells fish and dairy products. And a deli is a place that sells meats.
Wow.
Yeah.
But a deli isn't solely meats.
And a deli could still be appetizing.
Wow.
And a deli could sell dairy.
Can a bodega sell fish?
Yeah, but I don't know if you'd want to buy fish from a bodega.
Why?
Because
there's usually cats in there. They know from fish.
That's true. Well, probably a lot of times
the cats eat the fish.
Yeah, they get the fish in. They're like, a nice big delivery of fish, and they open it up. It's all fish bones.
Yeah, that and had been pulled. The cats, you see, they ate the fish whole and then just pulled the fish skeleton out of there.
Put it back in the delivery box.
Riff, riff. That's what they say.
So yeah, I would consider like a deli is a place where you can buy meats and breads, maybe not a huge selection of breads, but a huge selection of meats and cheeses.
Hey Tom, what about this?
And
prepared salads.
And prepared salads, which we'll get to.
I would say also beverages.
And beverages. Well, yeah, I mean that goes without saying. Most stores nowadays sell beverages.
Not Macy's.
I'm sure Macy's sells beverages somewhere. Best Buy sells beverages.
Yeah, that was weird when they, at Best Buy and Staples, they were just like,
we want soda too, right? Yeah. Hey, but they're not wrong.
I mean, yeah, unfortunately, they're not wrong. They perfectly judged the American consumer, but
yeah.
At what cost, Tom?
Yeah, like what store doesn't sell?
At our waistline's cost?
What store doesn't sell soda nowadays?
Hmm.
I mean, of course, like nice versions of any place don't sell soda, but like type of store, like electronics stores and office supply stores sell soda.
I mean, I feel like you don't find yourself in many stores if this is your stance. Bookstores do not sell soda.
Barnes & Noble probably does.
Many chain stores sell soda, yeah. I would say that, because they're probably mostly owned by a corporation that...
By this big soda man.
Yeah, PepsiCo owns most bookstores in America.
Man, can you imagine?
Man, what a wonderland, huh?
A lot more books about soda. I'm going to have to keep going in and asking every week.
The only books about soda that I've seen have not been good for the soda industry, Tom.
Well, it's high time somebody wrote a positive soda book.
Yeah. Maybe we should start a sister podcast.
Mm-hmm.
This would be me selling my soul. But, you know, positive soda propaganda.
Right. Yeah, like a nice feel-good soda story.
Yeah. Yeah, every week a deep dive into, you know, the soda's not going to be the focus of the story, but you better damn well believe it'll be the driving force of it.
I'd like to go to a bookstore and buy a thriller featuring soda.
Ooh.
Right?
I mean, just opening the bottle itself is a thrilling experience. You hear all those bubbles burst.
What if they sold books about soda when you open the book, it went, tss.
That'd
be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Just more fiction about soda. Enough nonfiction's been written.
Yeah.
Come up with some news stories about
people
soda.
Meeting over their shared love of Dr. Pepper.
Oh, I'm seeing it as like soda's one of the characters.
Okay.
Preferably the main character.
Dr. Pepper himself is.
Yeah. Is Dr. Pepper in Dr. Pepper's adventures.
Yeah. So you want this to be kind of like your favorite film, Sausage Party, but with sodas, right?
Man, that's one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. Have you ever seen that movie?
I watched 5 minutes of it. I tried to. You told me how bad it was.
Yeah.
And then I heard it had like a really weird ending. So I was like, I want to like you know, see how weird this gets.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't make it.
That's the closest I've ever come to walking out of a movie.
Wow.
I don't think I've ever walked out of a movie.
I have.
What movie?
Rockstar starring Mark Ooh. Wahlberg.
Yeah. What made you walk in the first place?
A lot of people were going.
And
you
heard it was the movie where he takes his penis out at the end?
Was it? No.
See, you almost made the same mistake again. Wait, I walked out?
Who was the lady? Was Jennifer Aniston in that movie?
It was Rachel. Rachel herself.
She doesn't seem like the rock star type. She more dates like a Ross type or Ted from work. Tag.
I think in the movie she was like, she wasn't like a groupie or anything like that. She was like a business mind. I think she was like the manager or something.
I don't think so. I think she was a groupie.
Oh, well, she was down to earth.
Yeah, she'd have to be, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, it was actually,
what do you mean she'd have to be?
It was quite a feat. To if you're a groupie, you know. Haven't you ever seen Almost Famous?
Oh, yeah, you have to know.
Yeah, you know the score.
Well, if you're a groupie, you've been around.
Like Penny Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad tale. I went with a bunch of people, and I had to rally.
I went with like 50 or 60 people. We rented the theater.
I went with like 8 or 9 people, and I was like politicking it like during the movie, like, hey, all right.
Let's leave.
Yeah, like, this guy's on board. Jim's on board. Jeff's on board. Phil's on the fence.
See, that's a lot of work.
Yeah, but it was worth it to not watch the rest of that movie.
I think
it took a full like a half hour, but it was more entertaining than watching the movie.
You know what? I think I've seen that movie on like cable or something. Maybe I haven't seen the whole thing, but I didn't think it was that bad.
What is it? Iron Maiden was what it was based on. Who was the band?
Judas Priest.
Judas Priest, yeah. Right? Yeah. The singer left, Rob Halford.
Yeah.
Halford. And then they just got a fan to...
Right, a fan that had similar, yeah.
Yeah. So it was pretty much that. I wonder if they paid those lads.
Pretty sure they didn't. Or I mean, they ain't used their music or anything, so
yeah, but maybe
like
you gotta use the story by Rob Halford.
Life
Belford.
Rights?
Yeah.
I feel like if they were
going to
do that,
they would
have licensed the music, too. I can't imagine like Judas Priest is like super expensive to license.
Oh, I disagree.
Breaking the law?
Yeah.
If Beavis and Butthead could afford
others. But that's not what we're talking about.
No,
Tom.
We're talking about delicatessens.
Tom?
Yeah.
So what do we got? We got meats. We got cheeses.
Yep.
We got prepared salads.
Yep.
We got sandwiches.
Really harping on the prepared salads.
Tom, I don't know if you've seen a deli case lately.
Yeah.
It's 60% prepared salads sometimes.
Is that true?
Yeah.
All right, let's go over. So I have a list of some of the types of salads.
This is ridiculous.
What?
This is ridiculous that this is some sort of fringe belief that I have.
Well, I mean, you know what, honestly.
It's the last time you've been in a deli. Open your eyes.
Now that I'm looking at it, this description says, equally common is a selection of prepared pasta, potato, chicken, tuna, shrimp, or other salads displayed under the counter.
Shrimp made it as
sold
its own
by
thing.
Weight. Yeah, shrimp salad.
Yeah, I know, but like, you know, gross, like any kind of seafood salad could be in there. There's crab salad and stuff. Why did shrimp get its own?
Oh, I feel like you see shrimp salad way more often than crab salad.
What about just a seafood salad?
Yeah, I feel like you see a seafood salad the most common of them all.
Yeah, it's a salad that you see and then eat.
Yeah. To be clear, all of these salads are just that main ingredient mixed with mayonnaise.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they are.
And the other ingredients, hopefully, if it's a decent enough salad. How do you feel about them putting celery in those salads? Give it a little crunch.
I like it. I'm on board.
Good.
Growing up,
mm-hmm.
the Reynolds household, Tom,
mm-hmm.
tuna sandwiches, were they a thing?
No, we rarely ate. You know what? And my dad liked tuna, but I think maybe me and my brother were just like such little bastards about like, it's gross.
Yeah.
That it wasn't around that much.
It was a big staple in my household.
Yeah.
And we were a celery household. But a friend of mine was without celery, and that seemed exotic whenever I was over his house.
Tuna salad without celery in it is too mushy.
Yeah.
You need something in there to...
You know what? He had more interesting breads than me.
Yeah?
He had, like, that was when I had the first, like, kind of like...
They ate theirs on croissants.
Sometimes, actually.
Oh, wow. But,
yeah. Why can't we just say croissants? I don't like when people say... Julia Louis-Dreyfus always goes, croissant.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Maybe
I like her a lot. She's a friend of the show.
Is she French Canadian or something? Maybe that's why.
Maybe just French. Who knows?
She could just be French. Julia Louis Dreyfus.
But there was also, you know, whole grain breads over there.
Okay.
And so it's like, okay, this is there's something to this.
Yeah, it wasn't just
white bread with soggy
open face tuna sandwiches.
Man, I loved me a tuna melt.
Yeah, tuna melts. So that's just tuna salad or tuna fish.
Tuna salad.
Now, what makes tuna? What's the difference between tuna fish and tuna salad?
The mayo.
But doesn't
and maybe
tuna fish
sometimes, Tom, follow me on this one.
Celery. But doesn't tuna fish have mayo in it? No, I guess not.
No, it's.
Yeah, what? Just a thing. I have a
it's either packed in oil or water, Tom.
Yeah, not mayonnaise. They should start selling it packed in mayonnaise.
They don't need to do that.
They should start selling everything packed in mayonnaise.
give it 2 years.
So wait, you would so it's tuna salad with American or cheddar cheese, presumably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, will you put that in the toaster oven?
Yeah, I mean, either you toast it. I imagine some restaurants would make it like on a griddle.
Like a la grilled cheese.
Yeah. I think you put a slice of cheese on each side of the bread.
Yeah.
Sandwich that in with the tuna.
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, I've had this packet of tuna fish for a while that I've been thinking of something to do.
How long have you had it, though?
No, not that long. Like, maybe like 2 weeks.
Okay.
They had like a big stand at the supermarket. You know me.
I cannot understand your psyche when you're in a supermarket.
It's
I don't
not
understand
just
what's going
it's
through
any
your head.
Store.
You're
any
so store, overwhelmed that you'll just buy anything?
Any store you put something in a stand, like an end cap or something like that, but especially a stand, like its own
like
custom...
with a person there?
No. Yeah. If there's a person there, I'm going to avoid it like the plague.
Don't engage me about my shopping, please.
But if it's a stand, although one time I was at the supermarket and there was a guy giving out like beer samples, and I was like, oh, well, I'll to chat this fella up. And then at the end of our drinking session, it was just,
kissed
you know,
him.
No, it was just, I kissed him. He went, whoa, hey.
I think you misunderstood what was going on here.
Wait, you buy me a drink and now you want to kiss? No, he gave me a beer glass.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice. Hey, congrats.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. I'm going to drink.
You unlocked all the flavors.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to buy some of the beer you told me you're selling. I'm going to put in this beer glass you gave me for free.
Tom, you ever go on one of these brewery tours?
Yeah.
And then at the end, they pour a glass into a beer.
Into a glass.
Into like a proprietary glass that they claim like this,
oh,
is,
this is the way the to drink it. Yeah.
This perfectly aerates the beer. And then like they try to trick people into buying like these like $18 beer glasses.
Yeah, they're like, this is the only way to drink our beer.
Do you buy those glasses?
No, usually, although I did buy a Guinness glass on the Guinness tour. I went on that a few years ago.
Yeah, I think I was there with you, right?
No, this is a different time.
Oh, fine.
No, that was the Jameson tour. We went on the Jameson tour together.
Yeah, I'm looking at your framed Jameson certificate.
Yeah, that certifies me as a doctor.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
You can move
to
Ireland?
I can practice medicine with that.
Wow.
Yeah. No, I think I bought a Jameson glass or a Guinness glass because they had like the newer style glasses. And like, I don't know, I was at the gift shop. The gift shop was like the size of a city block.
Yeah.
But it was basically just like anything you could find in a store, but with the word Guinness on it.
So like soda?
Yeah. I wish that would have just bought that.
Reams of office paper.
Yeah, a lot of office paper that already had the word Guinness stamped on each page right in the middle, which seemed to me, useless. Yeah, at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. In the mind of somebody who really likes Guinness, maybe that's useful.
But, yeah, keep it on. Keep it fresh. Yeah. Ah, the drink I like. What's the name of it? Let me take another sheet of paper here. I bought a glass because I was like, this is practical. I can drink my Guinness in it.
Yeah. Yeah, how do you buy into this thing where it's like, the Guinness needs the perfect pour? If something's that delicate, get out of town, I say.
No, I will say this, though.
There's only one right way to pour a Guinness, and it's got to be done by a certified Guinness genius.
Like, no, I was happy, though. I mean, you do have to, like, there's a particular way to pour it, but I don't think that...
So it doesn't foam over.
Right. I was going to say there's a particular way to pour it, but I don't think that way is necessarily like, something you need to like go to school for 7 years. Like,
yeah.
You can watch... You do it at the end of the tour. They show you once, and then you're like, oh, okay. And then you do it, and you drink that
Guinness.
Yeah,
but then they pretend like, oh, yeah, that was okay.
Yeah, they kind of do, and I hate that.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I did the same exact shit. There's only one way
It's not that hard, you jackass. Yeah. Stop pretending like you're important because you work at the Guinness factory.
Although they did tell me that my pour is the best out of everybody.
Wow, Tom. Did you get a certificate from them, too?
No, they said...
And you can practice law over there with a Guinness certificate.
They said, you're just going to have to take our word for it. They gave me... it was a gentleman's agreement.
Did you try to kiss that guy, too?
Yeah, well, I did, and then he said, no, just kiss my hand.
Oh.
So, we left it at that.
So, the deli case. So, yeah, so various... salads, Tom. Prepared salads.
Oh, what other kind of salads? I've seen buffalo chicken salad. That's a new one.
Yeah.
But that's just chicken salad that's old that they put hot sauce on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been doing
that one's made me sick a few times.
there's new like healthy options where I feel like they try to put like quinoa salads and like traditional like green salads there,
you know,
and
what?
Stuff.
Let me tell you something. Quinoa salad's okay in my book.
Tom, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
You would think it would be something that you're just like, enough with the quinoa salad, everybody.
Right.
It's dang delicious.
My
you can put anything in that.
Yeah. Well, not anything.
Shrimp.
Hopefully not poison or anything like that. Disguise the taste perfectly. No, there's like
I think you could put some poison in a salad. It's fine.
There's a family member of mine that like had a wedding a few years ago that was like a little I guess like on the hippie side. Mm-hmm. And like people, I wasn't invited to this wedding.
I think I had a quinoa salad at my wedding, Tom.
Well, I was going to say,
describe
like,
me as a little on the hippie side.
Yeah. Nice. You had like a outdoor like barn wedding.
Yeah.
And there was not even a priest there. I had a few different sins I wanted to confess to. And I was like, hey, where's the priest? I want to get a little private time. I have some sins I need to tell him about.
You do that at every wedding. It's embarrassing. You try to usually do it during...
There's a Jewish wedding. The rabbi can't hear your sins.
He can.
Yeah,
he would
just
be like
wow, that's a lot.
Oy vey.
Oy vey indeed. No, but like to this day, they talk about like family members talk about this particular wedding as like, they had the quinoa salad. I'm like, yeah, it's really good. Try it.
Have you ever heard anybody over the age of 50 try to pronounce quinoa?
Everyone, I think the only reason why members of my family were able to pronounce it was because they heard it before they saw it written down.
Yeah.
So it's not like Juan White, Quani.
I hear quinoa a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's Q-U. I understand it. Yeah. I understand. But,
I should keep an eye out at my deli for quinoa salad. I would like to have some, especially if they put a little bits of feta cheese in there.
Oh, man.
And some raisins.
Hey,
or some cranberry, like dried cranberries.
I mean, you can put anything in that, especially poison.
Well, no, I don't want poison.
It's fine.
Have you ever gotten...
quinoa is so healthy, it counteracts all the effects of poison.
Is quinoa, like, that much healthier than, like, brown rice?
Yeah.
I've been getting quinoa...
Of course
look,
it is, though.
I know this sounds like sacrilege, but I've been getting quinoa in my Chipotle burritos in lieu of rice recently.
Yeah. And I didn't know they offered quinoa.
They only... At the next kitchen... You know where the secret test kit, it's not secret, but the test
it's
kitchen.
It's in the Union Square.
Well, but come turn, keep your voice down.
Sorry,
we don't
sorry,
want
sorry.
Too many people
going
to the test kitchen. The shitty thing about the Chipotle test kitchen is like everything they're testing, when I walk in there, I'm like, oh, don't do that. Why are you doing that?
Like
don't test that. I don't know, just like...
Man, it's like the... Are they planning on sending fruit flies to Titan?
No, it's
guys,
just...
Guys, nobody wants that.
Well, do you know that the CEO of Chipotle is the former CEO of Taco Bell?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, like...
Oh, so he's probably thinking outside the bun in all sorts of different interesting
he's thinking
fashions.
Outside the bun, but inside the restaurant, where he's like... I mean, and kudos to him, because this were like gangbusters for Taco Bell. But now you see Chipotle doing it, where like they're looking around and going, oh, what do we got? What do we got? What do we got? How can we combine these in a different way?
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of the test kitchen items are. And I don't know. They all just feel like kind of a stretch where it's like, eh.
Do you think they're introducing quinoa to counteract all the effects of their other food? That they poisoned
the
everybody with,
stuff? Well, I mean, you claim that quinoa can cure anything.
Yeah.
No, I think they're probably just doing it as like a healthier option.
Hmm.
But I've had in my burritos. I know that's sacrilege to have quinoa in a burrito.
It says who?
It says me.
Is this what you had to talk to the priest about?
Yeah. Well, I can't tell you, but maybe that might have been it. But it was very good, and you know. But
wait, what else are they trying at the test kitchen?
They've got quesadillas.
Okay, that's fine.
They've got margaritas.
Yeah, all right, whatever. I feel like if you're gonna drink in a fast casual place, like whatever, you can't be choosy anyway.
Yeah, you know what? Chipotle
like
is like,
you're probably in a bad place.
Chipotle is like the one place where, like, whenever I go there with people, they're always like, oh, you're not going to get a beer here? I'm like, no, they got a fresh soda on tap. You can drink all of it you
Who's
want.
Who's asking that you're going to get a beer at Chipotle?
I don't
I feel
know.
Like that's
people that I go to Chipotle with.
Bunch of...
the lunch gang. I don't know. Nobody's asked me that in a decade. But sure, it's happened at some point. Yeah. Have you seen in delis sesame noodle salad?
I must have.
Well, I mean, I guess it's not really a salad. It's just like sesame noodles.
Yeah, they have prepared foods there that they can put in a little container and you can enjoy at your leisure.
What other kind? What else have you seen? Because you claimed you're like 60%. Come on, blow my mind.
Tom, you named about 15 salads before.
Yeah, and that's, yeah. But you claimed there were more.
No, I didn't.
All right.
I didn't put a number on it.
Well, you said
put
seafood,
a ratio.
Seafood salad and crab salad. Those were your...
Because after you named 100 different other salads, Tom.
Like 8 different salads.
Coleslaw?
Oh.
Salads and slaws, I should have said, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then you can get into like potato salad, German potato salad.
Yeah. And I guess
sweet
when
potato salad. I don't think I've ever seen that. I'm surprised.
When you got to go down south, my boy. what they
told you not to talk to me like fuck or like or.
I'm getting a little mixed up here, Tom.
Well,
because often
Tim,
along...
I told you not to talk to me like fuck or like or.
I said next to the God damn it, you made me lose my train of thought. The prepared salads, that's also where they keep like the trays of like chicken cutlets, both breaded and grilled.
Yeah.
For sandwiches, and technically you already said meats, but you know, I feel like that stuff's over there as well.
Yeah, that's not like sliced deli meats.
Right.
Sometimes you see crab cakes.
Yeah, or as I call them, crab cakes.
Well, hopefully not to the chef behind the counter.
You know what? There's a reason Gordon Ramsay always orders crab cakes first thing when he's evaluating a new restaurant on Kitchen Nightmares.
To see the freshness? Yeah. No, he always orders risotto.
if they have it. A lot of places he's going to don't have friggin' risotto.
Yeah.
Risotto. On the menu. There's this one guy in MasterChef this year.
Too mushy.
That every time Gordon Ramsay says his name, he pronounces it differently. No, this guy's got a name.
This guy's name Risotto?
No, his name is either Garon, Garen, Jaron, or Jaron.
Or Gary.
Or Gary. It's spelled G-A-R-Y. How would you say it?
G-A-R-Y? Yeah, no, that's Gary.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay's way off the reservation on this one.
Why does he ask for the crab cake? See if it's frozen or not?
Yeah, I think that's if somebody has a crab cake on the menu, odds are that's going to they're either going to do it well or it's going to specifically show what kind of bad restaurant they are.
Right.
If it's like frozen or if it's just like rotted.
Right.
I don't know. Look, I'm not on trial here. Gordon Ramsay is. He's had a lot of work done, right?
Oh yeah,
looks good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
he doesn't look like a monster yet. It's getting to the point where, like, pretty soon, if he doesn't slow his roll a little bit, he's gonna look like a monster.
Well, and that's what I think. I've tried to have this conversation with a bunch of people that are like, I'm not interested in having this conversation.
that's the reason we're friends. We have the conversations nobody else will have with us.
But I'm always adamant about like, look, and Gordon Ramsay's actually probably like at the high end of one of these examples. But like, I'm always telling people, like, all these freaking stars that people are like, oh, wow, like, they look great for their age. They're aging gracefully or whatever. It's like, they're getting plastic surgery done. They're just listening to the doctor and not going overboard.
Yeah.
Like, that's apparently, like, the biggest thing these, if you watch, like, some of these reality shows or whatever, or even just a plastic surgeon on the news, that they're always like, yeah, like, people come in, they're like, this bothers me. You know, Gordon Ramsay is probably like, my whole face is, like, wrinkled.
Right.
They
should be like, stop scowling so much.
Right. I've been scowling for 40 years, and now I look like this. That they're always like, all right, well, like, we can do this, this, and this. I think a lot of times, actually, like, they
do. It depends on who you go to, Tom.
Well, of course. But they'll do, like, that first round, and then people will come back, and they'll be like, you can barely notice it. And they're like, no, that's, like, what you want. That you can't really, like, you don't want the first thing somebody notices when they see you to be like, oh, you had work done, instead of, like, oh, you look, like, well-rested. And then they're like, yeah, I took a vacation under the knife.
Yeah.
I would,
but I would get work done.
I think that's what, like George Clooney and stuff. Like, he's getting work.
No, don't you throw around accusations, stuff. How dare you?
But it's light. It's
How dare you? He ages like a fine wine.
He's not trying to fix things. He's just trying to be like, hey, make me look like, you know, 5 years younger instead of 20 years younger.
He doesn't need to look younger. Nobody cares how old he looks. The older he gets, the more they're like, this is great. Bravo.
You know, he sold that tequila company for like $1 billion.
He doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah. I mean, he kind of hasn't. When's the last time you've seen him in a picture?
In a picture.
Why do you think they have deli counters? Why not a deli wall?
Now, go on.
Like, what if you walked into a deli and it wasn't all crowded? It was like an open concept. And they just had everything up against the wall. There was no barrier between you and the deli man.
Oh, no. Then people would be touching the meats.
No, the meats are still behind glass. The deli man has a key to open up meat glass.
I worked in a butcher shop. If we had to unlock the case every time we needed to grab meat for somebody, we would have been there all day.
This
butcher shop was only open 2 hours a day. You're very efficient.
You worked in a butcher shop, a.k.a. a meat market.
Yeah.
But you famously refused to make people sandwiches even if they brought their own bread in.
Tom, we had a deal. How many times do I have to explain this to you?
What?
In the same strip mall, there was a delicatessen.
Right.
And there...
But even if you
We sold
like,
cold cuts and didn't make sandwiches.
Right.
They made sandwiches and didn't sell cold cuts. I suspected they were selling cold cuts on the sly.
Well, yeah, what if somebody was like, I'll take a ham sandwich, hold the bread.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the code.
And make it a pound's worth.
Yeah.
Maybe make it a 1 pound sandwich if you're weighing everything, not including the bread, and don't include the bread.
It was some kind of cold war going on between the deli and the butcher shop over sandwiches.
I was
going
to say it's some kind of like collusion or
it was a cold cut war.
Monopolistic practices. The Justice Department should have gotten involved.
I mean, I don't understand. Like, why? Just because the inconvenience of if you wanted a pound of ham and a ham sandwich, you had to walk across.
No, it was unfair. It should have been laissez-faire.
It was a gentleman's agreement, Tom.
Well.
Anyway, there was something happening because I think the deli was selling cold cuts on the side. And at one point, my boss at the butcher shop came in and taught us all how to make sandwiches. But then we never implemented it. I think it was just kind of like... Hey, he went over. He's like, hey, Bruno, take a look at this.
Yeah.
Sandwich made by one of my boys. And Bruno was like, all right, I'll stop.
Yeah, that was like
throw out the styrofoam trays. Why do you need them if you're not putting cold cuts on those?
Yeah, that was like the dead man switch or something.
Yeah.
Like the doomsday. Like.
Yeah, at any moment, we were prepared to start making sandwiches.
Yeah. Probably not as prepared as they were to start selling cold cuts, which they were already doing, presumably.
That's true.
And now I couldn't buy cold cuts at your place and bring them there and have them make a sandwich out of them.
Oh, no, that's fair game, but they wouldn't like that.
Right.
You wouldn't like that because they'd be like, we got to charge you for a whole sandwich.
I'd be like, no, that's bullshit. I already bought this meat.
Yeah, I know. But again, you can't really bargain. You make a sandwich yourself or you have a man or a woman make it for you. And that's life. Yeah. These are the choice we make.
Do you know what a milk bar is?
I know of Momofuku milk bar.
A milk bar is what they call like a deli in Australia, for the most part, it sounds like.
I know
somebody's going to be like, crikey, that's not what we call it.
Well,
I think it's kind of like a soda shop. Because like we had milk, remember we had like milk shops. Not remember, we weren't alive in like
malt
the 50s.
Shops?
Yeah, malt shops.
Okay, what's malt?
It's old milk.
Okay,
something like that.
Yeah, like malt liquor is old liquor.
Yeah, malt balls are old balls.
That's not okay.
What's your feeling about bagels at a deli?
In New York, I'm for it.
I feel like in New York,
hold on. I don't want to be one of those guys. Like,
hey, New York
bagels.
Whatever.
It's just because there's a lot of like bagel distributors here. Like, you're probably getting the same bagels that you're getting at a lot of bagel shops.
Well, I was going to say in New York, now there's like a... And I feel like this wasn't the case when we were kids. But now there's like a lot of overlap between a bagel shop and a deli.
Yeah.
Like, bagel shops used to not have fresh cold cuts.
Yeah, and then Stuff a Bagel came in West Islip and changed the whole landscape.
Changed the entire state's bagel. Because I had a bagel this morning. I went to a bagel shop, and yeah, I couldn't help but notice, you know, full deli counter. I could have said, like, yeah, and throw a slice of turkey on there, and they wouldn't have even batted an eye.
Yeah.
In fact, they had on the menu, you know, like a turkey sandwich on a bagel.
Yeah. Why would they have the turkey there if they were going to bat an eye if you ordered it?
I don't know. Maybe
they had
like,
a deal.
That's only for bread. We can't put it on the bagels. Yeah, we have an agreement with the place next door.
The bread place. What would be?
Yeah, I don't know what their agreement would be.
Yeah. Anyway. Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. Did you want to talk more about
bagels?
Oh,
yeah, but I was going to say a lot of deli. Like, in New York, at least, if a bagel sells delis, could you imagine?
What a world.
Yeah, what am I on? Acid? If a deli
Tom,
sells...
Tom, you ever drop acid and then record a podcast?
And try and buy bagels from a deli? Or delis from a bagel, rather? If a deli selling bagels, they're probably A-OK. They probably got them that morning.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Great.
Bagels.
Tom?
Yes.
What's your favorite sandwich to get at a deli? Delis are primarily made to make
sandwiches.
Cold cut sandwiches for blue collar folk like me and you.
Are you the kind of guy, I'll get to an answer in a moment.
Yeah, that's fine.
But are you the kind of guy that, like, if it's late at night and you're coming home and maybe you've had a few alcoholic drinks? A
few alcohols?
You're like,
I do shots a lot. I only go to bars. I don't drink like a beer or a mixed drink.
No.
It's just shots.
Line them up, you do them, and you walk right out.
Yeah. Well, I do them, you know, consistently the entire time I'm there. So if I'm with people who are also having like beers and stuff,
right,
I'll just have, every time they take a sip of beer, I'll order a new shot. Yeah.
Well, that sounds like a recipe for disaster.
Well, I think what you're about to say is, do I ever...
Do you ever late night go to the deli and have them make you a sandwich?
Hell yeah, Tom.
Yeah, it's a pretty good...
I did it all the time. I did it on December 23rd one year.
Christmas Eve.
You and I and a bunch of other friends were out at the bar. We lived around the corner from two delis, the Green Deli and the Blue Deli. Or God
Green
Bless.
Greenpoint's Finest and God Bless America Deli.
Yeah.
Yeah, which had seemingly hastily renamed themselves God Bless America Deli in the aftermath of 9/11.
Yeah, hey, not a bad
no,
move for,
no.
for those fellas, what they were probably facing at the time.
Yep, and they were like, hey, we want to set aside any questions about
we'd rather not have harm come to our business or our family. I would always get this, the big chicken, and I know what you're going to say, because you're a big chicken.
Yeah, they named that sandwich after you, if I recall.
But it was chicken salad and some other stuff. I think it was kind of like almost a tuna melt on like a roll.
Yeah, I think
roll.
It had cheese as well.
It was great. It was delicious, except it gave me such food poisoning 2 days before Christmas that I had to drive out to Long Island on Christmas Eve. And I was just puking in a plastic bag the whole time. I had to do like Christmas shopping. I was like, yeah, sure, everybody. I bought Christmas presents weeks ago. So I was like, I had to stop at the mall and I was just like puking in garbage bales at the mall while doing Christmas shopping. The mall was packed and it was just
of course it was packed.
The kids waiting online for Santa Claus. And I'm stumbling through puking in garbage cans because I ate the big chicken the night before and had 1,000 shots.
So presumably, even before you became a vegetarian, you stopped getting chicken salad sandwiches?
Yeah, the big chicken was out of rotation at that point.
It's such a weird evolutionary thing. Like, I can never eat a sloppy Joe because of that, because I got food poisoning the first time I had a sloppy Joe. Like, and your body is just like, no, that's going to kill us. You can't eat that anymore.
Yeah. Don't you remember what happened?
Yeah. And you're like, yeah,
maniac.
I remember, but it was like under different circumstances. I can eat one now.
So what's your favorite?
Oh, I would say I usually would probably get, I'll tell you what my favorite of all time is. And it was from the meat market in our town, the Lone Star.
Right. Now, this is a little... this isn't standard deli fare.
Yeah, it's
deli
not a deli, because it was like a breaded chicken cutlet with cheddar cheese, bacon, and
barbecue sauce
on like a hero-type roll, a long roll.
That was good. And that was what... $5.95?
Oh, yeah, with a drink, I think, and chips, maybe even.
Yeah, man, 1998 was the best.
Yeah. You know, and actually, I remember at the time, it was like, it was a lot to spend on lunch. Like, it was pretty steep. Like, that was the most expensive lunch you could get in town.
Yeah, but holy crap, you'd go and...
Our town was weird because, like, there wasn't enough room for all of us to go to the cafeteria, so, like, starting when we were, what, like, 14, they were like, you guys can just leave for lunch.
Yeah, just come back.
Don't get
stupidly
in cars.
Stupidly, we came back every time.
Yeah. They're like, you can't get in cars unless you're a senior, but I don't know. We'll have no way of knowing.
Yeah. Also, they weren't good at like disciplining people when you were caught.
Yeah, it was basically like, well, don't have a car drop you back off right in front of school.
Yeah. We did that anyway. It was fine. And they'd just be like, ah, come on, guys, work with me here. And he'd be like, shut up, authority figure.
I got a Lone Star. But I would say still to this day, like a chicken cutlet, a breaded chicken cutlet sandwich.
Yeah.
Is what I like to go for.
What about from the deli case, though?
From the deli,
if
I can't get that,
meats.
Maybe I'll go for like a club sandwich. You know what I don't like at delis?
What?
I hate, and this goes for any place, I hate when they got a bunch of like name sandwiches up on the board. There's an escalation of things I hate. I hate if I am like, oh, I'll have a, you know, the Hardy Roger.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, if they have to look at the ingredients, I hate that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I hate even more if they go, what? Like, yeah. I'm making up a sandwich. It's on the board behind you, you numbskull. Yeah. Take a look at
it. Jackass, the Hardy Roger.
Yeah. But those are two. And that actually, like, kind of turned, like, I won't go too deep down the numbers for that reason. Because I'm like, if I'm going to order this and just be made to feel like an asshole for ordering off the menu, then maybe I should spend my money elsewhere.
Yeah. I don't like when you order one of those things and then they ask you if you want certain stuff on it.
Yeah, it's like, no, I want the whole thing.
Yeah,
you
guys,
works.
Hey, presumably somebody figured out the alchemy that makes this sandwich special.
Yeah. Oh, 100%, because I was going to say, that's probably like my biggest flaw at delis is when... If there's not a thing like that and it's just like, hey, choose your own sandwich, I forget everything and I'm just like, oh, chicken and whatever cheese. Like, I want a guide to tell me like, hey, how about we put like, you know, some of this on it, you know, maybe like some peppercorns. And, you know, things and pickles, like things I'm not going to normally
you forget about pickles.
I've been thinking about keeping some pickles in the house lately.
Wow, Tom.
Yeah.
It's a big step.
Yeah, I saw the movie The Predator the other night,
mm-hmm.
Which we talked about for an hour 2 weeks ago, but I hadn't seen the movie. And there's a scene, this is not a spoiler, there's a scene where a character is eating pickles at another character's house. Right out of the jar, and I was like, damn, that looks good. I never have pickles in my house. Why not?
Pick up some Vlasics, man.
Yeah, I mean, I have enough money. I can afford to have a thing of pickles in my house.
They keep for a while, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'd probably eat them all the night I buy them and then forget to ever buy them again.
Yeah. Also, your body would be like, after you puked up all those pickles, because you ate 15 pickles in a half hour, it would be like, hey, no more pickles, buddy.
Well, but if I buy like a jar of pickles and then I also pick up a couple of cucumbers. Once I'm done
with
the pickles.
Utilize that brine afterwards.
Brine it up. Some brine for
you. I mean,
you and
I like
to
leave that up to the good folks at Vlasic. They know
they do
doing.
A better job than I would, presumably.
There's two sandwiches on every menu, at least in New York,
mm-hmm.
And they're always good, and they're always the most indulgent.
Mm.
There's the Godfather, which is all the Italian meats, and then they put like roasted red peppers and stuff, and like maybe some spicy
mustard.
So
how is
mustard.
That different than an Italian sandwich?
They just call it the Godfather.
Yeah,
because it's a hero
Italian.
Usually. Yeah,
he's an Italian hero.
Yeah,
the Godfather.
And then the Dagwood, which is like all of the like the non-Italian cold cuts,
right?
Like turkey, ham.
Yeah.
And then some various cheeses. What do you think of I think the Dagwood's the best one.
I don't think I've
roast
ever,
beef.
You know what? I feel like I haven't seen the Dagwood. Ooh,
really?
I will get...
It's even got its own Wikipedia thing. Dagwood sandwich.
Well, no, that's a comic.
No. A Dagwood sandwich is a tall, multi-layered sandwich made with a variety of meats, cheeses, and condiments. Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah, but I mean, it depends on the meats and cheeses.
Well, how? Like, what do you think it's going to be like?
Dog and cat.
Yeah.
Bird.
Songbird. Okay. It's named after Dagwood, your favorite guy.
Yeah. Blondie's husband.
Yeah. What was the deal with Blondie?
She had blonde hair.
No, the comic strip.
Oh. I don't really know what it was about. In my recollection, it was mostly about Dagwood making sandwiches late at night.
Yeah. Yeah. I read Blondie probably
religiously
every day. Yeah. Because it was on the comics page.
Most of them were him just making a sandwich.
Yeah. Or his boss being like, Bumstead?
Yeah.
Blondie Bumstead, you know what her maiden name is? Boop-a-doop.
What? I don't think that's real.
Blondie is a smart, sweet, and responsible woman. She can
unlike
be stressed out
shit husband.
At times due to her young family and Dagwood's antics. And despite being usually laid back and patient, Blondie does get upset sometimes. She is also extremely beautiful with gold hair, gentle curls, and a shapely figure. A friend once told Dagwood that Blondie looked like $1 million.
Wow. Is the person writing this the friend of Dagwood's?
I guess.
Is he quoting himself there?
Yeah, it's always funny when like you look at the IMDb trivia for like Tom Cruise, it'll be like his third movie, Days of Thunder, he acted alongside a then unknown Rob Smilstein.
He's still unknown.
Yeah.
Guess what? I got news for you.
I'm trying to put your name on something officially associated with Tom Cruise.
That made me remember something about Delis that quickly.
Was it about Blondie having a shapely figure and golden
no,
hair?
No, I knew Blondie had a shapely figure and golden hair. Tim, anybody with a pair of eyes, even just one eye, would be able to tell that. Even Popeye knew that. Mm.
Popeye only had one eye?
No, I think that's why he was always squinting. The other one was, there was no eye in there.
Okay.
I think they made a joke in the Popeye movie about that.
I never saw that Popeye movie.
It's very
depressing.
Good. It's not canon
to
the Popeye comics, so you don't need to necessarily see it.
Is Wimpy in it?
Wimpy is in it, yeah.
Huh. Who plays Wimpy?
Look, I don't think anybody besides like Popeye and Olive Oil. No, I don't know who plays Bluto. I think somebody known plays Bluto.
Hmm.
Anyway,
are Popeye and Blondie in the same universe?
No,
but it would make sense if they crossed paths.
Yeah,
right?
I mean they're possibly decades apart.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe one of them.
We don't know. Maybe
the Flintstones met the goddamn Jetsons, Tom.
That's
Anything's
true.
Possible here.
Yeah, well, maybe one day if like Blondie and Dagwood went to the cemetery and you saw like a tombstone for Popeye and Olive Oil, then
how
you
would
know
Popeye
for sure.
die?
How would Popeye die?
He's so healthy.
If he couldn't get access to spinach in time and somebody's beating the life out of him.
That's true.
But here lies Popeye, beaten to death before he could get to his spinach.
Beaten to death by Bluto.
I remember what it was.
Who then carried his wife away.
Kicking and screaming. In college, there was in the food court, it wasn't like a food court. It was mostly like a cafeteria. But there was a corner, and it was called New York Deli, much like
you
were joking earlier.
Yeah, my favorite
earlier.
Deli.
So this is what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And they did have a sandwich. I believe it was called the Times Square. So I was like,
oh,
it checks
out. Fast moving.
I was like, oh, this is an authentic place.
How did they know about Times Square?
They made this sandwich that I think to this day is my favorite sandwich, which I've never seen anywhere in New York. But it was a roast beef sandwich. I don't even think there were onions on it. I think it was just roast beef, shredded cheddar cheese on a croissant. But they had
what
a machine.
Like that for?
Listen, they had a machine. And again, a machine I've never seen before. It was like the size of an industrial microwave, but it was a steamer.
Wow.
And they would just put this in there.
They'd steam some roast beef for you?
Yeah. They'd steam the roast beef, the croissant, and the cheese. And like you would think that would make the croissant horrible. It would just make the croissant all soggy.
Why do you keep saying this? It's got an R in it.
Croissant?
Yeah. Croissant. Just say it.
Croissant. Croissant, you would think it would make the croissant all soggy, and it did, but it was so good. I think the steaming machine had to have been very dangerous because, like, they would pop a sandwich in there for 5 seconds, and it would come out like the cheese would be like liquefied.
I have no interest in this sandwich you've been describing for the last 5 minutes. I'm sorry, Tom.
I've been trying to feign interest.
I just can't do it.
That was my favorite deli sandwich at the New York Deli at the University of Maryland North Campus Dining Hall.
And me, I'm a Dagwood man. If you like the show, check us out at tcgte.com.
If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can do so. Facebook.com/Complete Guide. Follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Tom Reynolds.
Call me at Your Pal Tim.
And if you want to support the show, check out our sponsors.
Get away from there.
Also, check out tcgt.com/Amazon for your Amazon shopping, where we get a little bit of a kickback, and tcgt.com/pledge for our Patreon, where you get a bunch of fun stuff like
Ginger, go sit down.
Weekly mini episodes of things like Fast Food Friday, Justice League Minute, You Look Marvelous, our podcast about Marvel.
Ooh, Riverdale Review's coming
Riverdale
up
Review
soon.
Is coming back up, and you get the whole back catalog of those things too. tcgt.com/pledge. Boy, I'm hungry for a sandwich now.
Tom, we didn't even hit the thing that you wanted to talk about, the famous delis.
The famous delis. This is what
Katz's. The Carnegie Deli.
Yeah. Russ and Daughters, even though I said it's an appetizing store. I've never been to I've been to a bunch of famous delis in New York and elsewhere. I have never been impressed by a sandwich from a famous deli.
Yeah.
All these places where people are like, you gotta try it.
You know what the thing is? As soon as it's a thing that you gotta try that everybody knows about, they've realized like, assembly line this stuff.
Yeah.
And loses all its, and also, food's not that great. Like, a specific restaurant's specific food is never, if somebody's like, oh, it's the best thing you'll ever have, it's like, food can only be so good.
Well, I would disagree when it comes to, like, restaurants' dishes, but I would agree when it comes to, like, a sandwich, where it's like, well, how much better, like, I mean, I guess, like, some, like, Katz's or whatever, they're, like, making their own pastrami, but I don't like pastrami.
Yeah, hey. Nice try, but we don't even like pastrami.
Yeah.
And the other thing
I go in there, I'm like, oh, this is the famous Katz's Deli. Give me a shrimp salad sandwich. And then I'm like, this isn't that good.
See you next week.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.